Thank you for having me here. Some of you know me from years gone by, others don't, so by way of introduction, came with my lovely wife, Janine, who's over there. She loves the spotlight more than I do. Yep, that's why she's shaking her head. And we have three great kids. I love being a dad. We have a 19, a 17, and a 16-year-old. Two out of school and one yet to finish, so it's pretty cool. And we love football, the round ball varieties. Anybody else out there a fan? Just there, I can see he's wearing the jersey. Dude, we're having words later. Okay, it's good. He's like, yeah, bring it on. Yeah, bring it on. Cool. And thank you, Liz. I joked with a couple of people coming in. And I said, have low expectations and you can't be disappointed. Trying to make myself feel a little bit at ease. But yeah, I appreciate what you pray there. Have high expectations because this is not me. It's not me. It's Jesus through me. And that's all I can do is speak and hope and pray that he reveals something to you. So on the screen should be 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Bing! There it is. Cool. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Which is basically making the point of what I just said. It's not me. I'm just an earthen vessel. But verse 6 I want to start with. And man, that is a wordy verse. That is a lot of stuff. It's like bang. So I'm just going to pick a couple of things out of that. And just that that God has shone light into the world. How good is that? That's actually the good news. That God shined light into the world in the face of Jesus Christ. And that light to us is made up of two things. In terms of the salvation message, hey, it is the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I love that we actually sang about both of these elements today, that Easter feast, that sounds cool. Sorry, we're not in town. I'd love to be there. But that a body hung on a cross and carried our sin so that we could be forgiven and we could be made right with God. How good's that? Anyone excited about that? I am. I like that. That's the gospel. But there's another side to the gospel, and it's the freedom that God brings. He didn't just die to forgive us of our sins, but to actually bring light into the world to set things right again. And I love that about God. So it's not just us being made right with God. It's that God sets things right on planet Earth so that we are not just forgiven for anger. We are set free from anger. We sang it tonight. We're not just forgiven for fear. We're set free from fear because of the truth of who God is. And now that we are his sons and daughters. So we're actually being made right. Planet Earth is being made right by who God is. And we might look out there and see a whole lot of darkness. Yeah, doesn't take a genius to spend too long looking for darkness. But there's also the light of Jesus Christ that's coming into the world. The word for salvation actually comes first mentioned in Scripture is Exodus 3:7, and it says this: I've seen the misery of my people. I've heard their cries and I know their sorrow. And I love that about God. I love that about him. I've seen the misery and I've heard their cries and I know their sorrow, and I have come down to deliver them. That's salvation. That word deliver is actually the word salvation. I've come down to save them out of that stuff. Hey, that's the light of God coming into the world. It's not an either or. And as I said, it's God setting us right with him, but it's also setting the world right. In the face of Jesus. And I just want to take a moment to shine a light on the face of Jesus for a second. In one of the stories in the gospel. But I have a mate, it's true. I actually have a friend, and that's cool. And he bought a really, really expensive engagement ring, like really, like small car, like good small car, really expensive, diamond ring. And I've never looked at a diamond and gone, wow, that is amazing. Like, sorry girls, it's just a diamond. Like, show me the ring, it's awesome. You broke, Jamie, all the girls like, show me the ring. It's like, it's a rock, yeah. But I looked into this rock and I've just gone, wow, like that's amazing. Like that's $10,000. No, I didn't say $10,000 worth. It was a lot of money. And it, like the facets in it and the colors in it, it was just amazing. And that reminds me of Jesus, hey. As we look into the face of Jesus, you see, wow, that's amazing. That's awesome. And then you see another facet and another color and another shade. Like I was reflecting back onto it, like I grew up in the church and in faith and in a Christian family. And I knew that much of Jesus at 10. And I knew a little bit more at 15 and a little bit more at 25. Because as I look at the face of Jesus, there's a new thing that just makes me go, oh, wow, check that. That's amazing. I never knew. And the light of God is being shone into my heart because Jesus is being revealed. And can I be so bold as to say, I think that's our job, to look into the face of Jesus. To look at, that's our responsibility. To actually just sort of spend time. And look, that sounds like a little bit weird and nebulous, but the face of Jesus is seen in the Gospels. Just check out who he is. And don't read a story. Read of a God, divinity, who became man walking among people. And when you start to read the Bible like that, like this is real stuff, real people, not just truth or knowledge, you actually start to see the face of Jesus Christ. Is that cool? So I want to read you a story from John chapter 5, and it's going to be up there as well. Oh, look at that. I flicked straight to John chapter 5. What have we got? Verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So we're in Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he'd already had been in that condition for a long time, I've seen his misery, I've heard his cry, I know his sorrow. He said to him, what do you want? And the sick man said to him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Weird story, hey? Especially when I'm talking about looking into the face of Jesus, because that does not sound like a cool story when you're talking about God. In fact, it's actually pretty cruel. On the surface of the story, it's horrid. There's a whole bunch of people who are without hope. And it becomes a race of the sick. How cool is that? The sick, the lame, the paralyzed. First one in wins. The rest of you suckers, bad luck. Like, it's not a cool story in terms of the gospel story. It's actually, when we're glimpsing into the face of Jesus, the question has to be asked, seriously? Like, is that the face of Jesus? But we've got to understand the story, and I want to unpack the story, and I make no bones in that I stole most of this stuff from a bloke who came to the church where we're at, called Shane Willard, New Hope. The sermon's online. I recommend it to you. He's a fantastic teacher, preacher, and I nicked his stuff. That's cool. Let's move on. Is that the face of Jesus? Is that the light he brings? You know, is that the light he brings? First in, best dressed. Let's clear a few things up. If that was you, the man in the story, You're in a really bad place. Not only has it been 38 years, but you are hopeless. You are without hope in entirety. You are just hanging in there by this pool, fingers crossed. Your hope of treatment basically doesn't exist. In fact, up until probably in the last couple of centuries, any medical help was fingers crossed type stuff. So we are blessed to be in this age. But back then, there was no hope of doctors doing a heck of a lot for you. And especially if you're in that condition, you got no money. You got no money. You might have a couple of coins to rub together, but that's on a good day when someone threw you something because you were basically a beggar, yeah? You're without medical help. And in terms of salvation, you are now considered dirty, disgraceful, cursed. Some sin must be upon you, and so you are not allowed into the one place that would connect you with God, into the temple. Lame, paralyzed, sick, disabled, you don't get in. So the way to Jesus Christ was through temple ritual. Sorry, not to Jesus Christ, to God, was through temple ritual. You have to go right back to that scenario. They didn't have Jesus on the cross back then. You had to present yourself in the temple. He's not allowed in there. You had to have a sacrifice that you paid for. He doesn't have any money to buy something. He'd then have to offer money to the priests for them to actually sacrifice it for you so that your sins could be forgiven, you could be reconciled with God. He is utterly hopeless. Utterly hopeless. He is right next to a pool that is outside a pagan temple. A pagan temple. Before we go there, I want to ask you the question, how do you picture this pool? How do you picture the pool in your head? To me, it would have been, until I heard Shane Willard speak the other week, it would have been something like that. It's a lovely pool. It could have been, I have another picture in my head, just the nice little pond out the front of Gabin Bar. Just sort of like that, you know. Do you know what I'm saying? Who has a picture like that? It would have been something nice like that. And where the water stirred, we would have said, Isaac, get out of the water. You have to think that joke through. But this is actually the pool. Bing. Oh, there it was. That's the pool. That's the pool of Bethesda. It's 40 metres wide and 100 metres long, and it's outside the temple of Serapis. It actually changed. There was another name before that, another god that they worshipped there. Too hard to pronounce that name. So let's just go with Serapis. Serapis was a god that they worshipped in Jerusalem. Jerusalem at that time was God's city, but really didn't reflect that. It actually had upwards of 40 pagan temples happening in Jerusalem at the time. So it wasn't the Jewish city of worship to God, it was anything but. And Serapis was the goddess of healing. The goddess of healing. Next photo. Check this. That is the depth of the pool of Bethesda. Yeah, nothing like I pictured it, hey. And now throw yourself back into the story for this bloke. That's not a pool I want to jump into if I'm paralyzed. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're second in, sucks to be you, mate. Because you and your mates are going to have a hard time getting out, and your mates are probably going to leave you there. There's no lifeguard on duty. And so you just wonder what happened to the bloke who got in second, hey? Beautiful pool, but it would overflow. And it actually created problems because it was actually near the top of the city, and it would overflow and create flooding problems. So what they did is said, you'll need to fix that. So they actually made tunnels underneath this pool that would actually drain it into a second pool. It was basically Toowoomba before its time. It had a water retention system. It's true. It's true. And as the water was moved from top pool to lower pool, please, it would stir. It would bubble. It would agitate. And so they made up a story. When the water bubbles and stirs, first one in gets healed by Serapis. How cruel is that? Not only that, we will charge all these people who are sick, maimed, lame, disabled. We will charge them to sit by our pool waiting. And they created the myth and extended the myth by setting up stooges who would know when the water would stir, being released from top pool to lower pool, and when it stirred, that person would magically be in first and would magically be healed but wasn't actually sick in the first place. And so they perpetuated the myth of healing by this pagan god. The term angel there, actually in some versions, and I'm going to go to Shane Willard, who's a better studier of the word, and in his sermon he outlines where how he understands this. But in some versions it actually says angel of the Lord, but that word there simply just says angel, can mean messenger, and actually this is the backstory behind this story of Bethesda, the Pool of Bethesda. And Jesus walks in into the suffering, into the misery, into the cries, the pain of these people. And who does he pick out? Not a bloke who's got a headache or has pulled a heartstring. He actually finds a bloke who's been there for 38 years. Who's 38 or more? Don't want to embarrass you. That's cool. That's cool. Nice. 38 or more. The rest of us haven't even been alive the length of days this guy suffered. You've got to put yourself into the story and go, oh yeah, cool, a guy who's been sick 38 years, oh yeah, bad luck. That's more than your lifetime for most of us in the room. That's how long he's been suffering. And here is the light of God in the face of Jesus that walks in and sees his misery and suffering and sorrow and says, I want to set you free. Hey mate, what do you want? Well, I don't even have someone to help me into the water. That is the state of his hopelessness. He's not even hoping that I have a chance to get in there. And Jesus says, rise, walk, take your bed, off you go. And he's set free. The light of the face of Jesus is not simply salvation, how great that is, but setting people free, seeing their suffering, seeing their misery. Man, the end of the story I finished in verse 9. Verse 9 ends sort of weirdly. And that day was the Sabbath. Like, weird story. Guy gets healed. Immediately the man was well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. Because you know what the religious people of the day did? Went and picked on Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath. May we never be that. And I love this little phrase, and I'll again throw it at you, from Shane Willard. He said, Jesus cares more about people than the rules. Here's the religious people of the day saying there's only one way to God, and that wasn't it. He shouldn't have healed on the Sabbath and made an issue about that. Where's he next? He's next found in the temple worshipping God, this man, because his heart's changed. Jesus founds him and says, hey mate, go, sin no more. Salvation's come to you. Not only have you been set free, but you've been saved as well. Hey, may we not be people who make it hard to find Jesus. Hey, the second verse of that, where am I? 2 Corinthians, where is mine? Finishes with this. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God, the power may be of God and not of us. This light that shone into the world is now in treasures of earthen clay. I like this one. I had to go looking at home to find a really good one. It's if I drop this, it's going to shatter into pieces, but I won't. It belongs to my wife, so. But that's us. Man, life, how fragile are we? It's nice to convince ourselves that we're not, but life is so fragile. We are this earthen vessel. But into that is the excellence of God. The power of Jesus poured into you. And I want to keep this really short and simple. See, we could look into the face of Jesus and go, that's amazing. And we could agree with the truth of God, and we could even have our hearts extended by that. We could then worship. We could gather with the people of God and celebrate. I want to leave you with one word. You have the treasure in an earthen vessel, Jesus Christ. Activate it. Do something with it. Don't just agree. Don't just worship. Those things are amazing. Let God shine into your heart and transform your heart, whatever age you are, and may it continue to happen. But if we just hold that treasure in here, we're probably missing the point, hey? But it's easier. Man, I wish I could just go, all I have to do is agree with it and worship God, and that'd be so cool. That would be so cool. And then as I'm thinking about all this stuff, God gives me opportunity for it, doesn't he? And a certain young fella waves me down in my yard. It was bizarre. I know who he is, but I've never met him. And he starts telling me stuff. He knows who we are. He knows a bit of our past story. And that young man is like going through all sorts of stuff. He's in and out of the mental unit of the hospital right now. And I'm just going, I don't know what to do with that. But I do know the light of Jesus shines into that. And now I've been sort of given a part to play in that. And I could go, you know what, too hard. I hope Jesus meets you. Or I could activate that we have. That's what the verse says. Check it out. But we have this treasure in us. Activate it.